The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there's a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It's Monday, May 10th. Hope everybody had a great Mother's Day. We've got a jam-packed show talking about the triple-double king, talking about the Nets, talking about the NBA's role in Zion's injury, talking about the big Canelo fight, as well as a bunch of other random stuff. As always, Jenkins and Jones is hosted by my good friends, Bernie Williams, a.k.a. Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Reporting from the dark.
From the wilderness.
Captain America, a.k.a. Jethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
Hello, Bubba. How you doing, Mikael?
I'm your host. I'm going to say I'm your host, Dan Levitard, a.k.a. Guardi B, a.k.a. Mike. But is that like illegal? Am I impersonating a competitor?
I don't know, man. Get that cease and desist in the mail, you feel me?
It's the lookalikes episode of Jenkins and Jones. Thanks so much for tapping in. I hope all the beautiful mommies had a beautiful mommy's day.
Yes, indeed.
We're recording this on Mother's Day, so I know that's what we're all thinking about. And Tyler is literally recording from the dark because the allergies have him so fucked up.
I was talking all that shit about pollen last weekend, and those motherfuckers heard that shit. Right. I've caught the wrath.
Arthur's like, oh, you was talking shit, huh? I'm going to show you plant cum.
Yeah. Earth was like, oh, you was talking shit? Right in my fucking eye. Right.
We all know you
right
get a little
in your eye.
You get a little bit in your eye.
And you were distraught when you got on camera, bro. I was like, yo, like Tyler, you like what you saying? Like you had your head down and shit. Bro.
I just been popping Benadryls and hibernating in the darkness this whole weekend. And I've turned that motherfucking ring light on. I was like, I like audibly hissed when that shit came on, like like a fucking vampire or something, bro.
The light
is blinding.
Right. Oh shit, bro.
Got it in your eye, bro. You know.
Got me.
You're gonna be hella light skinned by the end of this weekend.
Pale as fuck.
You look like Sammy Solstice instead of Bernie, bro. Shit.
All right, we're rounding the home stretch of this terrible regular season for the NBA, and we're all excited for the playoffs. But the one storyline, the most underappreciated storyline this season, the most underappreciated storyline of the last 4 years, in my opinion, Russell Westbrook, the triple-double king, officially tied Oscar Robertson with his 181st career triple-double Saturday night. He has a chance to break the NBA's record. He has four more games in the regular season, including the Hawks on Monday night. There's been sort of this pushback against the narrative around Russ over the last couple of weeks as he's approached this record. You've heard him. You've heard Scott Brooks. You've heard Russ-friendly people in the media say, why have we not appreciated this more, what he's done over the last couple of seasons?
Because, you know, sports talk is never about getting shit right. It's people who want to be right. You know what I mean? Like that's the whole, just be honest. A lot of motherfuckers wrote Russ off for dead at the top of the season. Shit. I was kind of leaning that way too. You know, he didn't look like himself in the first half of the season, but he hit a different gear after like All-Star break. Right. Like, you know, it's probably him and Steph, you could say, are the best point guards after All-Star break this season. And you know, it's like I said, it's just people who don't want to admit that, hey, we were wrong about this guy. We probably buried him a bit prematurely.
I just think people don't like Russ for some reason.
That too, yeah.
I think he's never got the love he deserved as a player. You know, we always found reasons to shit on Russ. You know what I mean? And not enjoy. I mean, even the MVP season, there's people saying that, you know, that the triple doubles he had, you know, it was selfish. As if like who the fuck was he playing with, bro? You know what I mean? Like they find reasons to shit, you know what I mean, on what he's done. So I think that's the reason. People just don't want to see Russ win for some reason. Like you said, Tyler, people have said he was bad and they want to continue with that narrative instead of just admitting, yo, Russ still has it. And he's been a solid player. He's a great obviously breaking this fucking record. I think he deserves more respect, not just in the last 4 or 5 years, but his career as a whole.
Well, I mean, I think everyone thought the triple-double record was one of the untouchable records right. in sports for someone to average it over one season. And he's now, I believe it's the 4 year span he's averaged it over, which is absolutely insane. But you, I think you're exactly right. We just narrativized in a weird way, Harden, KD and Russ all got reputations when they were together on the Thunder that have just stuck with them. And I don't know what it was about that moment in time, but you consider everything, you know, Kevin Durant has done since then. And you still see people constantly like, well, snake you never emoji. Won it. Like he needed to win a ring with the Thunder for it to count to some people. Like Russ needs to win a championship for averaging a triple double to quote unquote count. Like that just doesn't make any fucking sense in a league where the same four guys win the championship 18 out of 20 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Chris Paul's one of those guys too, that just doesn't get the love that they deserve. You know what I mean? Like what he's done like in the last 3 or 4 years, you know what I mean? Like every team he goes to is so much better and people will talk about it, but like it's ignored by a lot of the fans, which is wild to me. He's 100 years old and fucking team, 6 foot.
What team that, would that Russ?
That man got Clint Capella $90 million off that pick and roll for that one season, bro. Like, right?
He ain't done shit since. You feel yeah. me? We ain't heard his name since that season. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Crazy.
What team would Russ have had to have averaged a triple-double for this year for, like, the national media to have been like, wow, the second act of Russell Westbrook? Like if he'd have gone to the Celtics or something, you know what I mean? Like, don't you feel like if he'd gone to a different market, he might have been hailed with a little bit more, like, love and respect?
Yeah. Yeah. I can definitely see that it would be way more of an appealing story if he threw the Celtics on his back rather than the Wizards. You know what I mean? Like I don't think anyone gives a shit about the Wizards playoff push, really. But yeah,
except for Adam.
I definitely think if he was in a different
except for
place,
our producer,
like
Adam.
Our producer like, Adam. Sorry, know, Adam.
Yeah, except for Adam.
Yeah, he had a quote during this whole thing that I thought was perfect. It's just like, if it was easy to just be selfish and average a triple double, someone else in the last 40 years would have done it. You know, and if you talk to any actual basketball people, they'll tell you, like, for anyone who thought that was selfish or stat padding, the structure of every offense he's been in, if it's intelligent, has been built around his speed and his athleticism. And the best thing you can do is, instead of waiting for a 6'11" dude to catch a rebound, give it to Russ and then start lumbering down the court. Pew, pew, pew. Let him get the rebound. Everyone else has already had a second and a half head start running down the court. And now you have one of the fastest players in NBA history with still strength and athleticism charging down the court. Like that's the offense. But there are people who are just like, oh, it's just selfish. Like, he's hogging all the rebounds.
I think people say he's selfish because he doesn't give a fuck about people. He just cares about the people that matter to him. And that's how people should really live. I respect the hell out of how he moves. You know, he's very loyal. He's not like the fans are everything. No, yeah, he doesn't. We don't hear Russ saying that because I don't think he, you know, lauds the fans like other players do. He actually just cares about the people that are in his life. And I think people assume that is selfish when it's really just prioritizing. You know what I mean? Russ has just always been about people that the people that are around him, taking care of them. You know, the people that have been there the whole time. We don't see him, you know. And I think people take that they take offense to that because he's not, you know, super friendly to strangers.
He's not on Twitter telling everyone how much he doesn't care about people's opinions. Right. He's just not caring about people's opinions.
He just doesn't act. He actually doesn't care. You know what I mean? And I think people don't like that. And I think it's great that I can say something that doesn't give a fuck about me. Because fuck me. You know what I mean? You don't know me, dog.
Like one of the most moving stories I heard was about when Russ was in high school and his best friend died. And Russ went to his best friend's house and you know, worked things out with his mom where he would do that his best friend's chores every weekend, you know, to help her out. Like, that's the type of person that Russ is, you know, to build on your point, John.
And he gives, and dude, like, also, like, he, like, when it comes to, you know, when people are in need, he's always giving. Mm-hmm. But he's just not a, like, hey, you're a fan. I love, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, he'll also call a fan out, they being a fuck nigga, because they should be called out instead of just being like, this is what fans do. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think he moves how people should move. And because people don't move that way, they don't like it. You know
exactly,
what I mean?
Exactly. Like when Nip passed, like we saw all these pictures that we've never seen before of Russ helping Nip out during like food drives and stuff in the community. And we never heard about it from Russ because Russ ain't that type to tell us. You know what I mean?
Right. He just does it. You know what I mean? And I think, you know, I think he's great. As a human, I think he's solid. As a basketball player, I respect the fuck out of his game. And I'm glad he proved me wrong. I thought he was washed this year.
Yeah,
I did. Flat out. And I'm glad he proved me wrong. You know what I mean? So good for Russ.
I think it you always have to credit where people come from. And his father, Russell Westbrook Sr., his mother, Shannon Westbrook, they both had jobs his whole life. You know what I mean? And neither of them quit when Russ got rich. And they, you know, I think his dad had made a comment to someone along the lines of, this is being passed to me from someone who knows them. What do I look like living off my son? You know what I mean? Like, of course he wants to, you know, and I'm sure they go on nice vacation. I'm sure they're living a very comfortable life at this point, but I just thought that's a powerful statment. You know what I mean? It's just like, I'm not about to be out here asking myself for money.
Russ wasn't accidentally Russ.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that.
Yeah. Cause I ain't gonna lie to you. I get an NBA son, bro. I'm kicking my motherfucking feet up. I don't give a fuck. Son is gonna take care of me, dog. Hold me down.
I'm gonna be honest with you. If you get an NBA son, I'm also gonna be kicking my feet up.
For real. Everybody eats, bro.
That's my nephew, shit. Bro. You know.
Well, let's hope he ain't a role player or something, bro.
Hey, you got a big boat. You're pulling a big boat, bro.
We need about 17 years in the league out this man. You know what I mean? You know? At least the Clarkson type, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, minimum. That. We need minimum. 6 man of the year minimum.
We need that minimum. Boys is living good out here. I got a lot of golf to play, buddy. Bubba.
Oh shit. Okay, other big story from the NBA over the weekend. The Nets they had the same thing the Lakers did. They had what looked like it might have been a get right game against a Nuggets team that was missing, you know, Jamal Murray. I feel the same way with the Nets as I did about the Lakers. I watched that game and I thought this Nets team looks like they're about ready, you know, for the playoffs. But I felt the same thing about the Lakers.
they lost four or five, haven't they? The Nets.
Yeah, they lost four in a row before they played the Nuggets to snap that skid. KD with 33, Kyrie with 31. But I think more importantly, they were down by, I want to say it was 13 points, you know, and then kind of turned it on. You're always waiting for that turn it on moment before the playoffs. So what do you think about the Nets? You think they're ready? You think they're ready to go? Or you think they're going to kind of muddle it up a little bit as they're trying to find chemistry?
They're not ready without Harden. You know what I mean? Like, if they don't have – Harden's the most important player on their team. They don't have Harden, they're not as dominant. They gave up a lot to give Harden, and they needed Harden to play. You know what I mean? So they'll be good. I don't think they win the East without Harden. It might not even be close.
Yeah, but Harden's due to come back for the playoffs. But, you know, like I've been saying all season, it takes a lot for teams to mesh together, especially during that first year, regardless of how loaded that roster is. But, you know, you got a big three of Kyrie, Harden, and KD, right? I mean, they're going to get pretty far in the playoffs. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if they don't come out the East, though.
They've only played 7 games together, something wild like that, bro. Like all three.
Well,
they've
had no time
together.
If you apply the logic that I think all three of us follow, that you need, number one, talent is more important than anything else. But then number two, you need the time together and the chemistry, and that's also really important. Doesn't look great for the Lakers. Doesn't look great for the Nets. I mean, Sixers obviously have had guys missing. Is the Clippers are the team that have probably played the most games together? Yes,
I think they have. I think of like the best players, like, you know, PG and fucking Kawhi, they've had the most time together.
So might be yikes mode.
Not a Clippers summer though.
The world deserves better.
Right.
To start the roaring 2020s. LA Clippers.
With a Clippers fucking shit, bro. I don't know.
The other story, I really want to talk about this because it ties into what we've been talking about with injuries in the NBA. And I'm not sure that it's correct to blame all injuries on the NBA, but Zion Williamson broke his finger. It was a serious fracture, not one of the ones that you just kind of tape it up or whatever, but blunt trauma, repetitive, you know, force injury. CT scan on the left hand revealed a serious break. The Pelicans are saying this is not a freak injury from a freak athlete who plays hard in the paint, that this is the NBA's fault. David Griffin said, quote, "I'm really frustrated because this was avoidable. We told the NBA through every means available to us, through sending in film, through speaking to everybody in the officials department and everyone in basketball operations, that the way they were officiating Zion was going to get him injured. And quite frankly, he's injured because of the open season that there's been on Zion Williamson in the paint. There is more violence encouraged in the paint against him than any player I've seen since Shaquille O'Neal. It was egregious then, and it's egregious now." What do you think?
I think it's wild that he says that, being that he's coached LeBron. I mean, right. that he's been the GM, while LeBron played for the Cavs. But yeah, I think that's. But I mean, I don't know if that's a fact, but I know he had to say that.
Yeah,
and he should say that. You know what I mean? To protect his player. You know, Zion. They don't know how to ref Zion yet. He's so fucking strong, and he does get hit a lot. So there's some facts in there. I don't think he's Shaquille O'Neal pummeled, where Shaquille had two people hanging off of him. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he'd be called for the offensive foul and sometimes, you know what I mean? It's ridiculous. But there's some fact in there. Is it really blunt? It's a hand though. It's his ring finger. Isn't it his ring finger? Like, it, that seems like a little extra.
Well, I mean, he is a power dribbling, drop stepping motherfucker, right? So if he's repeatedly doing that, and you know, in five games and 7 days and shit, I can kind of see the point there.
I mean, like, it's a ring finger doesn't need somebody to hit it 8 times for it to fuck up. You feel me? Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if, like, throughout the year, it's not like your feet where you're using them every moment. You know what I mean? Like,
he said, I mean, you usually think of, you know, bones are freak accidents. You know, the soft tissue tends to be more the repetitive stuff. And that was, I raised my eyebrows at that, because when it was Griffin who said it was, you know, repetitive injury. And I'm thinking, you don't usually hear that from medical doctors about, about bones. You know what I mean?
He made it seem like he was getting like hammer fists to his fuck. You know, like, so that's some UFC shit that the way he was talking about it. And I'm like, that was kind of odd, but, you know, I mean, the refereeing, I get that.
Tyler, how do you think they should be officiating Zion? I mean, John said he doesn't know that they figured it out. Like, what's the answer to that? Because it's Zion. It's not like Zion's being gentle. You know what I mean? Against
exactly.
He has a powerful game.
I feel like they'll never figure it out. I don't think they fully figured out how to officiate Bron in fucking 17, 18 years. They never figured out how to officiate Shaq. I don't think they're going to figure out how to officiate Zion.
If he gets fouled, call the fucking foul. That's how they should officiate him. They haven't figured it out, which is weird. If Bron gets hit, call the motherfucker. If Zion gets hit, call the mother. It's not their fault that they're stronger than other people. That is so weird to me with Shaq and Bron and people like that. Call the fucking foul. You know what I mean?
There's a difference, though, between being strong and using your strength. And both Bron and Zion use their shoulders, use their strength in ways that if other players did it, would be called offensive fouls.
You don't think they let
Zion get into someone's chest with his shoulder more than they would if that was a wing?
I think that was actually called more. Dude. I think it's actually called more. Because they're so much stronger and motherfuckers just explode when they hit their ass. You feel me?
That man almost killed Tyler Hero. Yeah, Bron almost killed Tyler Hero that one play last season. Tyler Hero looked like he got shot out that motherfucker.
Right. And if another if Jordan Clarkson would have hit his ass, you know, we might not even have noticed the shit. You know
what
I mean?
I'm not saying they don't call offensive fouls. I'm saying Bron's spin move in the paint is using his strength in a way that's different from the way that another NBA player would be using his body.
That's,
you know what I mean?
Spin move in the paint, and he just happens to be strong. And other niggas ain't as strong, bro. You know, I remember there was one time when I went to the fucking lane, and there was a big motherfucker in the lane. And
who was probably weighing half of what Bron weighs. Yep.
Oh, and I weigh half of what these other regular niggas in the league are. I'm an actual regular human. I'm not a regular basketball player. You know what I mean? So, like, I exploded when I hit him. You know what I mean? There was no foul. I mean, if anybody else was there, like, you know what I mean? Like, dog, they're just stronger, and it's not their fault. And if they get hit, they should get called. The foul should get called.
You know what I mean? I do think this started with Shaq, and it's going to be more dramatic now that when you have players that are really strong and who play strong, who play physically, and you're in a league that is increasingly discouraging contact, that is calling more incidental contact on the perimeter. That is, I mean, you look at some of the follow through fouls that you see on jump shooters. The league does not want people hurt. They don't really want people bumping. They want three-pointers and run-out dunks. That's what the league wants, right?
That's not
then you
fine.
Have that's not 280-pound freaks in it. But that's true. But it's true. That's the way that the game is officiated. Then you put in dudes that are like, I am going to dunk through your face.
Giannis is. The Giannis fucking into that motherfucker. You know what I mean?
It's going to naturally create a tension on how those dudes are officiated. So I guess I would agree with John that I think it's a structural problem. I don't know how they're going to address that next year because you can't call ticky-tack fouls, bro.
No, I mean, but if it's a – dude, there's sometimes Bron gets beat the fuck up. And I Jordan was stronger and more athletic than everybody. You know what I mean? But like Bron is this big domineering dude and he'll get beat the fuck up. And we've seen it. We're like, this is the most unprotected great I've ever seen. You know what I mean? I don't want to see him at the free
throw. They were doing some wild shit to Shaq. But Shaq was invulnerable.
Shaq was the right. He was the actual invincible. He deserved that name. Unlike the invincible guy that we know. You know what I mean? But what was that? Dudley? Where he lifted Dudley up with his shoulder, then dunked on him, swung him, and Dudley was this how disrespectful is what Dudley threw the ball at him, knowing that he would get pummeled if it is actually one-on-one. But he was just so disrespected, he had to respond, bro. That's the most disrespectful dunk I've ever seen in my life. You know, and he lifted him up in the air with his shoulder before he boomed on his ass. You feel me? Like, well, I get it. But dog, there was a lot of times he was getting beat the fuck up and they didn't call shit either. And Brian ain't Shaq, dog. Brian ain't no Shaq. Neither is motherfucking Zion. You feel me?
But the thing is, will any NBA player say that they believe that they're officiated correctly? Like, we've seen James fucking Harden, the most whistle-friendly dude in the league, complain about how he's refereed, you know?
After 20 fucking free throws in a game or some shit, you know what I mean? I'm more shocked. Well, not shocked, but it's like, I think people think that I've never seen an NBA player. I've seen like maybe four that have fouled somebody and actually admitted it. You see somebody maul somebody. Look at the ref like, what? Bro, his head is 8 feet away from his fucking shoulders, dog. You know what I mean? It's crazy. Don't listen to
Tim Duncan was another one.
You said, go ahead.
Tim Duncan was another one. Tim Duncan was another one who never committed a foul in his life, if you ask him. Like, that's the only time calm, you know, super cool demeanor, never complains. The only time we'd see him whine is about a foul call.
Sheesh. Anyway.
Big fight over the weekend. Canelo taking down Billy Joe, aka Billy Joel.
a British Billy Joe, which is, I didn't know that happened, but it does apparently.
Boy, Bubba.
Yeah, I didn't. I thought that motherfucker was from like Kentucky when I saw who he was. That's a fucking Kentucky ass name.
That is cultural appropriation. How is that
How is that a Manchester upon Abbey Hills ass name? That's right. You're British, bro. You should be like Barrington or some shit.
You are William Joseph if you are from England. Yes. If you are from Kentucky, you're Billy Joe, bro.
Billy Joe?
Yeah.
He probably was always William Joseph, but he wanted to make himself more, you know, palatable to Americans, you know, in boxing. So now he's Billy Joe. Because
he's been served up for American audiences now. What did y'all think of the fight?
I just love somebody. Did you see when he was talking, when he was making fun of the Mexican reporter? When he was like, you know, the reporter's asking him questions. And before like every answer, he'd be like, your breath smells like shit. And then he would mocking him. He was talking shit about Canelo for 3 years. And Canelo, when asked about it, he was like, he talked for a while. Now he has to step up and fight me. And I love the fact that he broke his fucking face with like a half a round left. Broke orbital bone. He broke his eye and face in four places. It is like a complete rupture, they say. And then after he did it, He paused and waved on the crowd. Hit him some more, waved the crowd on again, and then toyed with a champion boxer in the ring for another minute. And like, dude, that's the most pettiest shit I've ever seen. I'm going to play with this fuck nigga, and I'm going to go sit down and know he ain't going to get off that stool. And prior to him losing that fight, he said he would always go out on the shield. But you basically got to knock him out to win. Whatever. I'm fighting through it. Nigga, didn't happen, and you got to shut the fuck up and sit your ass on the stool. Because, bro, like, that motherfucker. Hey, Canelo, that ain't the one to talk shit to, bro. That ain't the one, dog. He do whatever the fuck he want to. You feel me? Crazy.
Tyler, I actually didn't see the fight, but, you know, the backstory. I'm always a fan of people who talking shit and then getting their ass beat. So go Canelo.
Right. I know, but dude, I know people that train with Canelo and work with them or whatever. And they say that motherfucker, like, he'll work out, go play golf, come back and work out again. Like, he kind of like, he doesn't run as much anymore. He's really like created a cheat code, bro. He's cracked the code for boxing, bro. And he just get in there and just dominate. And these dudes are so much bigger than Canelo. You know what I mean? Reach, and it seems like in weight, you know what I mean? And he's just pummeling their ass. So I love that. He's one of my favorite boxers ever, bro. And I think he learned so much from that Mayweather fight.
Billy Joe was like 5'11", and Canelo was like 5'7", right?
Right. Yep. Billy Joe 5'11". He looked huge. I'm like, that nigga my height. I thought that nigga was like 6'4" in there. But Joe standing up next to Canelo, and Canelo beat that man down, brought the axe out, and chopped his ass up. You feel me? How would you feel to break a nigga face? Like, you didn't you broke the man face and made him quit in betwixt in Britain. Based upon Billy Joe, you know, in betwixt the round, bro. This motherfucker in between rounds, this motherfucker, I just can't do it no more, dog. I quit.
Right? He needs to just fall off the stool and pretend he's knocked out. You know what I mean? Like,
right. He should have fell down once he got put. Bro, if your face is broken, you're knocked out, bro. You know what I mean? There's no reason, you know what I mean? But like, dog,
I have a gross orbital bone story for you. This is why we used to talk about this on the show before it was with before we were with the Volume Podcast Network. But like, all three of us have had a history. We've all hung the gloves up. You know what I mean? Yeah. Right? And for me, a friend of mine, I think right after we graduated college, got into a fight at a bar and got his orbital bone broken. And it completely changed the way I think about violence in the world.
What was
had to have surgery where they had to take his eyeball out and like rest it on his cheek in order to get everything corrected. And when he was explaining all this to us, we were like, let's transition to brunch. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we don't go out at night anymore. We get day drunk. Okay, what? Did he start the fight?
No, just a dude who was, that was part of it. Was like, we're all about to, you know, we just graduated college. We're starting to calm down. We're starting to turn the temperature down a little bit. And it was shit we're on the perimeter of, and some dude just, you know, decided he had a punchable face and total cheap shot. Like, but it was just that thing of like, oh, okay. The one moment can protect. I mean, he really easily could have died. You know what I mean?
You should legally just be able to decide if you want to kill that person or not. If you kill that person that did that to you, right, it should be legal. You know what I mean? If you sleep me and break my face, nigga, you earned it. I don't give a fuck what the law says.
If they have to take my eyeball out of my face
and do surgery
to see it right.
And if I buck your ass after that, I think that should be legal. The jury should be like, well, I get that. He, you know, I mean, if he got to get his eyeball taken out, laying on his cheek.
There's a law of the land and there's a law of biology. You know what I mean? Yes. Right. Yes. Bro, fully agree.
I'm just so glad that I'm beyond the age of where possibly fighting when I went out is something that was a very distinct possibility, right? Like we were kind of on go at all times in our 20s when we went out,
right?
Like you know, always had your neck on a swivel, not knowing who was gonna fuck with you or whatever. And I'm so glad those days are behind me, bro. Ooh. I can't believe that was so normal to us in our 20s.
We were in college, like fight music. When did you go out and a fight didn't break out? You know what I mean?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, throw your hood up, nigga. Okay, like let me get my ass to
you're encouraging
wall.
Me so, to throw my hood up.
Right, right. So I let me get my ass to the wall so I don't, you know what I'm saying? I know what's in front of me. You feel me? At that time, you know what I mean? Like, and that was just like, and then the song would change, and then we go back to regular shit. You know what I mean? Like, it was just an understood part of going out. That, you know what I mean? That you could get, yeah. You know what I'm saying? A fight could break out. And it's, that's a, yes, I'm glad we passed
we were, I was just talking about this with Shara. We went to the Dodgers-Angels game last night, and there was like two groups behind us, drunk group of Dodgers fans, drunk group of Angels fans, both in the early 20s. And, you know, I mean, they were, it was that thing, it's the in-between, right? They were in the in-between for the whole game where you're just like, and I was talking to Sharp, thinking about it the whole time. Like, I'm so glad I'm 30 in my 30s with kids. And it's just like, there's no expectation that I would participate in this. And there's a certain level of respect of like, all right, we're four rows back. This is not going to spill down onto the 5-year-old.
Right.
You know
right.
What I mean?
Right.
And there's something like mentally draining about that shit that you go back, it go into when you're like hit puberty through the end of your 20s. So for like 15, 20 years, you're just like at any moment you're at a movie. I mean, we used to go to the movie theaters in Long Beach.
Yeah.
And half the time a fight broke out.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. Right. Right.
Like constant, like, well, maybe I'm going to go have a fun time with my friends, or maybe I'm going to go have a fun time with my friends where we're jumping up and down on someone. You know
what I mean? Treat somebody's face like a trampoline. Boing! Wee! Off a nigga face, bro. Bro, like that shit. No, none of that shit is sweet, dog. I don't want no part of that no more. I think we felt like we had something to prove back then, all right? We were kind of getting older. We felt like we, you know, yeah. What is a man? We're trying to figure that out for ourselves. And none of that has anything to do with being a man, in my opinion. You know what I mean? Like, there's times you got to protect your people for sure. But like if we can avoid that and just be peaceful, that's by far the, you know, decision that needs to be made. You know what I mean?
Stressful time to be a father of an almost 8-year-old. I'll tell you that. Clock is ticking.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean?
What's really wild too, being older, is like, and actually like going to boxing gyms and sparring and shit, is seeing the people that are really good at fighting. And a lot of them don't look like they're good at fighting. So so like it made me realize how many times I almost really did get my ass whooped. Cause it could have been this square ass nigga that would have drugged my ass up and down the street. You feel me? Up and down Eastfield Drive. You know what I mean? Give me, you know what I mean? But like, you don't really know who got hands. You know what I mean? That motherfucker might have on some, you know, some, I don't know, some new Balance running shoes. You know what I mean?
with some
motherfucking Express jeans. You know what I mean? Boot cut, and will bust your whole
and
ass.
A pair of licensed to carry hands.
Yeah. Right, right, bro. Like fighting the UFC gyms and shit like that, bro. Like the people were always the kindest dudes. That were wrecking folks in the octagon, bro. Because
they're never trying to prove anything. They don't have nothing to prove.
We felt like we had something to prove, and thank God we didn't run into somebody that didn't. You know what I mean? Thank God I never ran into somebody that did it. Because now experiencing that, bro, like, bro. Like you said, you know, license hands. They had to license their hands.
You know those hot takes you post on social media? Well, now you can win up to $5,000 when you put those takes to the test on FanDuel. It's a new game called Over Under, and it's absolutely free to play on FanDuel. Here's how it works. FanDuel will set lines on things like total points or three-pointers made during every NBA on TNT broadcast. All you have to do is pick over or under for every prop. Your picks could win you a share of $5,000 during every contest. FanDuel is the exclusive home for over-under, and it's available in all 50 states, so you can play from anywhere. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/over-under and sign up now if you haven't done so already. Just create a new FanDuel account. If you don't already have one, it takes less than 2 minutes to sign up. Then put your takes to the test during every NBA on TNT broadcast at FanDuel.com/over-under. They could be worth up to $5,000. Age and local restrictions apply. See FanDuel.com for terms and conditions. I'm gonna try and do a better job of bringing us weirder sports stories, because I think that's something all three of us enjoy. I woke up to this news today, which is that the winner of the Kentucky Derby has basically tested positive for horse steroids.
But don't they all use horse steroids?
So hold on. Bob Baffert, who's like, you know, the legendary trainer, you know, like he's been killing the Kentucky Derby like a Braun or a Tom Brady or whatever. His horse, Medina Spirit, won, but has tested positive for betamethasone, which is a corticosteroid. And he tested way positive for way more of it in his system than is allowed. He's the only horse to test positive for that steroid. So Bob Baffert is now going to be banned from entering horses at Churchill Downs for he's been suspended while they investigate it. So it could end up in a lifetime ban.
Lifetime?
Else. But that's crazy. Hey, that's crazy, though. You're giving steroids to horses, bro?
I thought they all got roids. I thought like it was like bodybuilding. Like we all know these folks on roids, but you know, like we just kind of ignore the fact that they look.
It sounds like he exceeded the amount that was allowed.
Okay. Okay.
Mike just read.
He had 21 picograms of he got the betamethasone in his system.
Yeah. With that motherfucker, that motherfucker was like. Running with a hard dick. Sprinting down the track, peeking, nigga. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that horse is on roids. That's more than normal. When his nuts are dragging behind him like a wagon. And he's smoking everybody. Oh shit, yes. That's I more love- than, like you said, the three picazoids that is normal for him.
I just love the idea that a sport that's contingent on little people riding on horses to see which one of them goes the fastest. It's like, well, this is unnatural. They gave him too many picograms of betamethasone.
aren't like the people that usually are, like, what are they called? The ones that the racers?
Jockeys.
Aren't they like they do wild shit like not to eat and like to keep stunt their growth? Right, yeah. So everything
horses are terrible, bro.
Dude. That fucking shit particularly is horrible, and somebody's getting banned from that. How horrible of a human are you to get banned from that, dog? Damn, bro. Like, bro, they're stunting the growth of humans. You know what I mean? You like that? Like, and you get banned from this fucking sport? Crazy.
Tough scene.
He's gonna have to give that wreath back ASAP. Hand over that wreath, that rose incarnation wreath. You are a disgrace to the sport.
How much bread do you get from that shit? Is there like
a lot of money?
Yeah, siring is where the money comes in. Like if you have a, you know,
selling. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. And this might not even fuck up that sire bag. I don't know how shit would work, but I don't know. I think if you have a horse that even plays with juicing, you'd probably be like, hey, come, you know, impregnate my horse, right?
What's crazy is I was reading about this horse that it was not like from one of the premier lineages, which this dude, like he bought this horse at an auction for super cheap and they were using it to, I forget what the term is, but it's terrible. So one of the ways horse racing is unnatural is that horses are pack animals. So you actually have to break them of their genetic instinct to run alongside the other horses to convince them to run out in front by themselves. Because they're hardwired to think, if I do that, something's going to kill me.
Yeah.
So you use lesser horses to kind of break the, to like, no, beat this dude's ass until you feel comfortable running away from other horses. So that's what this horse was supposed to be. The horse that got its ass beat, but it kept beating all the other horses.
It was a horse, and then it became a hoss. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was like, oh no, this ain't the horse, this the hoss, nigga. You feel what I'm saying? Shit.
All right, crazy. we have a great debate about the classic bop, "Kiss of Life" by Sade.
Oh man.
John brought this up on Twitter. We decided we needed to discuss it on the podcast. Is the kiss of life referring to a smooch upon the lips or a smooch upon the vagina?
I think John, really thoughts. Smooch should only be used when you're smooching the vagina. You know what I mean? Because that's because you really be smooching. You know what I mean? That's
mooching and scooching.
That's a smooch like a motherfucker, dog. You know what I mean? Like what you when you kissing on the lips and what you do, you know, it's a totally different thing. But I whether it's, you know what I'm saying, the mouth or the nether regions, you know what I mean? I think it's amazing that that man had that much power. She called the song the kiss of life. That's what he gave her, she says. You know what I mean? Just like you did. And then this is Sade, bro. Like, that's who you, like, bro, I walking around like that, like, you couldn't tell me shit. You know what I mean? I would let everybody know I gave her the kiss of life. That kiss of life, that's me, my nigga. You feel me? Get that tatted on my forehead, nigga. You feel me? Like,
I'm the kiss of life dude.
Right. I'm the kiss of life dude across my fucking forehead, bro. Fuck everything. Fuck jobs, all that, nigga. Like, you feel me? Crazy. But I thought, I didn't know it was a, I mean, it's more fun. You know, the lower smooch.
I just assumed. I mean, what would a kiss on the mouth that would inspire? I mean, you know,
nigga might be crazy, bro. But listen, bro, you know, sometimes that mouth kiss go crazy. Then you know, you can feel the pulse when you touch down.
To have someone talk about he led me to you. You know what I mean?
Right.
Right.
So
yeah, but see, I always thought it was some metaphorical shit. Like she was saying, you know, you came along and you made my life worth living. But you know, the pussy in theory is more fun. So you know, I think that's worth examining.
Maybe he kissed her and the pussy. So
sign me up for the cooch. Yeah, sign me up for the cooch smooch talk.
Cooch smooch, you know what I mean? But nah, for real. Maybe he kissed her and the coochie got that heartbeat. And that's what you're talking about—the kiss of life. Because you know what I'm talking about. That motherfucker be do 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 do. You feel me? You do, you know what I'm saying? So that was a kiss of life, bro. I don't know.
Speaking of John, why don't you explain the Drake drama that happened? You know, in between our last podcast episode, please break this down.
Drake did Drake shit. You feel me? Like he basically signed this woman, flew out her and her boyfriend, who's an artist too. You know what I mean? And then snatched her ass up, bro. You know, like this very, very Drakey. But apparently they were together 8 years. She she told him. And then she writes a ballad basically telling him, like, you know, I hope you live a good life after me. You know what I mean? Which is, to me, savagery. You know what I mean? Because, like, don't just leave me alone. I don't need you to go out and write a song about you, about this. And don't, in any way. And so... I saw this on Twitter, looked at his page, and this motherfucker out here doing parkour and capoeira, backflips and all types of shit, dog. And I'm like, this man really got him training for, he's training to get jumped by Drake's security. You know what I mean? He's training very hard to get shot, probably. And I'm like, my nigga, what is all this shit, bro? He doing all these backflips and shit. Threw like two punches, maybe a kick here and there. And bro, like none of that's gonna outrun that motherfucking 40, bro. You feel me? Like, no, that's crazy.
Yeah. You know, I kind of feel bad for him because he deep down he had to have known, right? His girl's a baddie and she was gonna be, you know, holed up in some studio sessions with Drake. You had to have known, dog. You had to have known that was coming. And then all them damn backflips ain't gonna erase that, buddy.
Bro, can we say this though? When we saw I sent y'all the picture.
Yeah.
We get it. Drake did what Drake was supposed to do.
Okay. Well, she did what she was supposed to do too. I mean, right? You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, yeah, but like.
But she's that age. You mentioned in the group chat, she's the exact age where it was just like, she knew what was happening the moment she.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know
what
I mean?
Yeah.
She was like, oh, we're going to the studio.
And also, cool. That backflipping ass nigga probably square as fuck if we keeping it a stack, dog.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he has, I don't know if y'all saw on his page, he has a picture of him on a plane holding like was wine and he goes, no champagne, Poppy. That's the that nigga living in your brain rent free. Yeah, nigga.
That boy hurt.
You gotta let that hurt go, nigga. You out here sick with your square ass, all them damn backflips, and Drake just walked in there, lit the joint, watched Invincible with your lady, and poked her by the fucking fourth episode, my nigga. You know what I mean? Get the fuck out of here, G.
And then word got out that they were engaged for 8 years. Once I heard that, I was like, oh yeah, come on, that's an easy kill right there.
Right,
Drake didn't even have to work too hard for that, I'm sure. But,
Low key, maybe Drake didn't work. Maybe she did it, bro. You feel me? Maybe. With that square ass nigga, she was like, let me try to see what these motherfuckers talking about. You feel me?
Eight years is a long time.
But dude, bro, you gotta ring that. Bro, she like 8 feet, bro. Her foot bigger than mine. You saw how thick she was, dude. Hey, bro, there's only like four of her on the planet, bro. Bro, you gotta keep that one.
Shit. I think he tried.
We don't know what's going on either, because she might have like, yeah, I don't know. They met, but she was like 26. They've been here like 8 years. So like that's some high school shit. Bro, that's I feel bad for that man. The backflips worked. Like
the song was the, when she writes this song, bro, that's enough. You know what I mean?
She can sing too. She talented. It was a beautiful song. Wrote a beautiful song on the back of your pain, not hers.
If you're going to tell me you love me, don't cheat on me. If you're going to cheat on me, please don't write a song about it.
And don't. Right. Oh, come on, man. The song was beautiful, though. That shit going to slap when they put that beat up under that thing, though. You feel me? That's gonna get a lot of play in the Jethro's house.
Listen, bro, you were engaged for eight years, and your fiance was gonna be alone with Drake. You should have known to fire up the Tinder profile as soon as those dates got put on the calendar, bro. It was a wrap, man.
Tighten that hinge up, my boy. Get that hinge popping. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
John just brought up Invincible. Tyler and I talked about it last week, but I did, now that we've all seen it, because John's finished it, I wanted to ask you guys, whose nickname is less appropriate, Invincible or the Immortal?
I guess Invincible is probably more appropriate, because even though he does get his ass beat all the time, he doesn't necessarily die. Immortal be dying, dog. Immortal has died twice in one season.
Yeah, but he dies twice and then he comes back. So that's wild. Both them got, but bro, Immortal got his head chopped off. Then he got his whole waist chopped off. You feel me?
Like he got chicken wing, like how you separate the drumstick from the flat. Yeah.
Flat, you know what I mean? Dog, what was really wild to me, though, was that fucking, like, I have literally never seen a scene like that subway scene. And I think we talked about this with, what's that horse show? That we used to fuck
Jack Horseman.
Yeah. We talked about that. It was too depressing for it to be an actual TV show, because it would, like, nobody could have enjoyed it with actual humans. You know what I mean? And I think, like, if they did see, even if it was CGI, we knew it was fake. If we saw actual humans and not cartoons in that fucking subway scene, that I might have, right. I might have been
automatic
gagging.
Vomit. Yeah, for sure. Like the human reflex, you would have been irresistible to just barf all over yourself.
My sister doesn't even like cartoons. She loved Invincible. She said that scene. She said, dude, she's a doctor. She one time she saw a car wreck where the dude's eyebrow was up by his hairline, and she gagged watching that cartoon scene. Damn. Like, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, that was some heavy shit, bro.
That's what Invincible does. Like it is very non-discriminate with who it kills, which is how shit would be in real life, right? Like in the comic book movies and all that, you know, the mom and the kid are gonna always get saved, but not in Invincible. Invincible is gonna be fucking holding that mom's arm after the building falls on her. You know what I mean?
That was really sad when he said, "What would you have?" He said, I have you. That low key kind of made me tear up a little bit. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah.
That scene when he was like he like somebody said he beat his own humanity out of his son. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, like that is, but he had me kind of feeling embarrassed to be a human for a second. I'm like, damn, we really ain't shit though. Like the way he was talking. I'm like, bro, we hella basic when you talk like that, bro. You know what I'm saying? But that shit was great, bro. I'm glad y'all hit me to that. I appreciate y'all. I want to publicly get on here and say thank you guys.
I'm glad you figured out the mute button on your headphones last
week. Oh, yeah.
You could enjoy it unspoiled. Because you had to experience that last episode. The end of the first episode and the last episode, you have to experience that, like, with a fresh, unwrinkled brain. You know what I mean?
The first episode, like, stuck a fucking, you know what I mean? Like, plugged right into me. Like, at the end of it, I'm okay. I'm here forever now, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, but that last episode was like, oh, okay. You know, it really let me see like what type of show this is truly going to be, you know?
Okay. Our last story, and I love science stories like this. I think all three of us do. Did you guys see how technology that was developed to help people scan pastries could end up being a huge part of the cure for cancer?
Well, okay. What was that?
Tyler, did you see the story?
No, to scan pastries.
Okay. So in Japan, they sell fresh pastries of like different sizes and types is a huge part of the culture. So you walk into a store and they're going to have like a grocery store, 90 different varieties of these things, right? And the problem that they were having was you can't put them in packages because that's not how people want them. They want them fresh. Mm. So you're going to make it, you're going to put it there. But that would require the cashier to have memorized every single different kind of thing and what its price is.
Mm-hmm.
So this huge, like grocery store chain basically contracted a company called Brain Co. to create a product called Bakery Scan, which is a scanning thing instead of a barcode scanner like we have at, you know, Walmart, Target, mm-hmm. whatever. You just run the bakery items underneath it and it goes, okay, this is a croissant, this is a cruller, this is the little squishy shit, whatever. This costs this, this costs this, this costs this. And it worked perfectly. And someone read about it in the medical tech field and went, if it could tell the difference between these things, there's no reason we couldn't hook it up to a microscope to tell the difference between other things. So it is now been tested to be able to identify cancerous cells at the microscopic level with 99% accuracy. So this
fucking bakeries, this is why that was used. And now, you know,
the name of the product is Bakery Scan, and you may in the future be having it tell you whether or not your biopsy is coming back with cancer.
In 100 years, that'll be normal, right? And then this story of how it came about will be like legend. Well, this is how, you know what I mean? I think that's so wild. I think its true purpose was the cancer shit. It just happened to be used for bakery shit initially. You know what I mean? Like, it's so weird how that happens in life, but that's crazy as hell.
That's kind of how shit works a lot in the medical industry, though. Like, breakthroughs that you don't see coming from where you expect them to come from. Like mm-hmm. penicillin, dude. Penicillin was a whole ass accident. Like, the dude left some petri dish and went on fucking vacation and he came back and there was mold in his shit. And he was like, wow, this mold is really fucking up these, you know, viruses in here. This bacteria in here. And now that led to saving fucking hundreds of millions of lives. So that's kind of how shit works, man. That's interesting, though.
So we're not as smart as we think we are then, huh?
Well,
we accidentally figure out cool,
but
state.
We did figure it out.
Yeah, that's
so
true. That's true. That's
but it
true.
Just what we need is basically, if you're out there listening to this show while you're working in a lab, and we have actually heard from a couple people where that's the case, and I know lab work is the boringest shit in fucking history, throw some bread into whatever it is that you're working on, bro. Just see what happens. Maybe it becomes moldy and kills a virus. Maybe you scan the bread and it cures cancer. All right, that's our show.
Fucking pastries, saving humanity.
Fucking Hawaiian bread, thank God for it. Saved my life as a kid, shit. I lived off that shit.
That's all the time we got. We'll be back on Thursday. Thanks so much for fucking with us. The playoffs are coming.